Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one slippers podcast in all of my feet. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorman, King of the Burbs, Frizzman.
Happy Valentine's Day, listeners, and Parker.
Hey, thanks.
Happy Valentine's Day, guy.
I know that you're just giving me the happy Valentine's Day because you gave one to the listeners. And, you know, the teachers always make you give one to everybody if you give one to one person, so... I just got that socialism Valentine, but that's fine. I'm still happy with it.
Well, yours comes with a Hershey Kiss tape to it, so you know it's extra special.
You know it's real.
It's a friendship secret.
When you had a crush on a girl when you were little, did you like make sure to give her the Valentine that you thought was coolest? Like, I liked Donatello the most out of all the Ninja Turtles, so I would always give the girl that I liked, like I would give her the Donatello one, or I would give her like... the Jimmy Snuka Valentine or whatever, or like the, like whatever, you know, what was going on, whatever kind of Valentines I had. Like I would give her the Sub-Zero one if I had Mortal Kombat Valentines.
Yeah. Oh, well, mine was actually Spider-Man. So they were all Spider-Man. So I just gave her the coolest looking Spider-Man that I could find.
Yeah. She would probably think that it was like mixed messages. Like, oh, I was hoping to get Jason's favorite Spider-Man character, but they're all Spider-Man. How am I going to know if he likes me?
Yeah, you got to play it cool, right? That's what they tell you when you're young. It's like, play it cool. Don't come on too strong, but don't give her the one Doc Ock card in there either.
Yeah, don't ever give her like the Scarlet Spider or Rhino. Then she'll know that you hate her.
Yeah. You really get a charge out of me, Valentine. That's the Electro one. And yeah, you'd probably get canned for that. So yeah, that I didn't really, there wasn't really a variant in there. It was just like, hey, he's jumping in this one. He's not just standing there with his hands on his hips. So you got the cool one.
Mm-hmm. So much as you're not handing out like Kirsten Dunst Valentines. Then you're doing A-okay.
Yeah, that was pretty well in the clear.
Yeah.
Do you have any Valentine's Day plans this year?
I did my Valentine's Day plans last night because the wife has to work on actual Valentine's Day, which I guess is like tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
So we went and saw the Robot Cop, the Robert Cop.
How much would you pay? How much would you buy that movie for?
Well, I guess I'd buy it for a dollar.
I didn't know how else to phrase that. There's no good way to set that up. It's like, how much would you pay for that movie? I guess you could probably make that jump yourself, but
yeah, well,
let's make sure it was there. Does that show up in the movie? Does anybody say that in the film?
They do. Yeah, there's some like real cutesy stuff in there where like they nod to the original.
Oh, so it's a cutesy movie then?
Yeah, it's kind of cutesy. I don't know. It's weird, like. We're talking about it on Junk Food Dinner this week, so I won't say much about it, but I will say...
You're now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
By Quarterly Women's Social Club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flicks. PodAwful.net.
Are you receiving me? Jackie Earl Haley's in it, and he rules all the time.
Yeah, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of other great people in it. Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Man, I'm getting so sick of Samuel L. Jackson, dude. Last year, you know, like on Letterboxd, they tell you who the actor is that you've seen the most of their movies, you know? And
this is Sam.
Samuel L. Jackson last year. It's only February. Samuel L. Jackson this year. This motherfucker's in every fucking movie that comes out. And he only plays one character. He only does the one thing that he always does. And where he plays himself, and I'm getting real fucking sick of it, because it's every single movie. I can't escape him. He's in everything. He's in all the Star Wars. He's in all the fucking Avengers movies. He's in all the RoboCops. Every Quentin Tarantino movie. Fucking all of this. Unless I just go, see fucking all the Ice Age movies. That's the only way I can escape Samuel L. Jackson. And he's probably in those.
He'll probably like cameo in those or something.
Yeah, I'm getting mad. I'm getting real mad.
Speaking of actors who play themselves and getting tired of them, I was just having this conversation the other day about Bill Murray. It seems really weird. I don't think I would have had this conversation, you know, a couple of years ago, but I was just thinking about films that he'd been in. I think he is going to be in this next Wes Anderson film. And he still looks kind of like, you know, dejected, aloof, and probably going to say something like quippy or hilarious. And I feel like that's been Bill Murray for the past, you know, decade. He's been really celebrated for it, but again, I'm thinking like this guy's just being Bill Murray. In fact, he was in Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray plays Bill Murray in Zombieland. They did a short film where he plays himself in New York because these guys are trying to get a hold of him. That's the point of the short film. It's like, we're trying to make a film. We need to get Bill Murray in it. And he plays himself in that too. So he's, you know, he's just able to throw his ego around, which is fine, I guess. I mean, it's worked so far, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't seem like a guy with too much range. Like, even back in his younger days, like, I mean, he was just like he did that one character that he was known for on Saturday Night Live where like it was just like nerdy Bill Murray. And then he did Caddyshack where he was like kind of like dumb Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters where he was like kind of a dickhead Bill Murray. Like, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of range. He's no Adam Sandler, you know? You're never going to see Bill Murray as the devil's son.
Or Bill Murray as his own twin sister.
Mm-hmm. You're never going to see that.
That's probably for the best.
Maybe. But I don't know. That movie does have that good scene where they fiended that old lady those peppers, and that is so funny to me.
That actor is actually pretty funny. It's weird that he's in an Adam Sandler film. That's I think the takeaway from that. But yeah, Bill Murray, I kind of put him in that same grouping as Sam Jackson. It's like an actor who, you know, became so famous for doing this one thing or becoming themselves that's on screen, that's what they're known to do. And now I'm at a point where I can't even celebrate it. So it's not like same as Sam Jackson. I'm not over the moon for him either. So feel kind of over both these guys.
That's understandable. Was Bill Murray in that, the Moonrise Kingdom?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't care for that one.
He was pretty aloof in that one too.
Yeah, he's always aloof.
Yeah, he has like wild hair and goes out drinking while chopping on a tree. That's not too aloof. That's actually kind of proactive, but he's drinking and shirtless. So that kind of gives the impression of aloofness.
Yeah. The other day I was in the shower and I needed to spread soap on my body. So I used Bill Murray because he was a loofah.
Yeah. There you go. that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
You know, when you pour like soap on it, does it speak up and say like, I'm slimed, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Slimed me. Okay.
He said that. And then I left a Duke in the bathtub water, and he ate it because it was a candy bar.
Oh, yeah. Classic Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Like classic Caddyshack. Yeah. He's got that going for him, so that's nice.
Yeah.
That was also a reference to Caddyshack. I couldn't think of a Ghostbusters line again, or a Stripes line. I can't think of Stripes stuff.
I never saw Stripes because I don't think that war is funny.
It's pretty hilarious. I mean, these guys make it funny.
I don't think there's any way to make war funny. It's a travesty.
Have you ever seen Hogan's Heroes?
No, and I refuse to. There's no way to make World War II funny.
You ever see that Simpsons with the flying hellfish?
That's pretty funny. That's real funny. That's a good one. I like at the end where Grandpa and Bart are hugging, and that guy tells them that they need to get a room because they're fun boys.
Yeah, the German art collector.
Yeah.
Get the room, fun boys.
I think fun boys is a very funny thing to call people.
That is. I feel like that's, you know, fun and cute.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of fun and cute, I do want to mention some things.
Yeah.
Right here at the top of the show.
Sure.
I want to mention that Mike Dick, professional podcaster on the Kissing Contest show.
Yes.
He's called an official. Speaking of war, this has to do with war. That's what reminded me.
Oh.
He's called an official cancellation of the Punch Parker contest.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. I would play We Are the Champions right now if I had that drop. I don't have that yet right now. So I just want to thank him for that, for being so kind and generous. And, you know, I just want to apologize, I guess, on behalf of Kissing Contest to all the people who bought plane tickets that were on their way to punch me, that had plans. Show's over. It's off. They called it off. So pretty happy about that, Frisbee.
Yeah, I'm happy about it, too.
I appreciate
that. I feel
that.
Like, huh?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I wasn't in the running for the contest. I really didn't know that it was going on. So I couldn't have competed. But I wouldn't have punched you anyway. And I feel like enough people had spoken about, like, you don't want to punch this guy. For one, I think people are intimidated by you. You have a very majestic-looking beard. Mm-hmm. You're very tall. So these things work in your favor.
That's true. I have like a tattoo of a skull, you know, and that turns people off from wanting to punch you. It's like,
yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
very tough though. So it's like camouflage, you know, like how like those lizards when they're threatened, like, the blood sprays out of their eyes and like they get like those big neck flaps.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like one of the first things that happened when we first met, you weren't so sure about me. So blood squirted from your eyes and you had these huge neck flaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
then I ran away on my two hind legs.
You did. Like a regular Rory Calhoun. It was scary.
Yeah, I ran off all bow-legged, like one of those basilisk lizards.
Yeah, and then it was in slow motion with some British guy narrating. And here we see Parker running across this small body of water as if it were just land itself because of the spread of his toes. Watch him as he makes his way across to safety. And then you ate a bug.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is that you have a history of watching a lot of ghoulish cinema and a particular fixation on Serbian film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also very intimidating.
That's right.
People aren't sure about. Yeah.
Yeah. People think that, like, if they punch me, then I will probably, like, get revenge by putting my erect penis in their ocular cavity, and then
see, there you go. I would. That's not the first thing that would come to my mind.
Well, that's,
or come to the mind. That's gross.
Yeah. Well, come to the mind. That's funny. That's a pun.
It's a pun. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's how my fighting style is because of watching Serbian films so many times.
You know?
Like a lot of guys, like they'll try to set you up with the jab and then come with the, you know, the uppercut or whatever, or the hook. Not me. Penis.
Yours is the long con.
Mm-hmm. Penis right in the eye hole, and then I'll have sex with your dead family. Spoiler alert.
Well, I don't, I think those things and just kissing contests being generally awesome dudes, decide not to incur that fate on themselves. So, yeah, that's good news. I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm happy, too. I was, like, getting real worried. So now I don't have to live in fear. I'm not afraid anymore, you know?
That's good.
So pretty happy about that. So check those guys out. Listen to their podcast. What should we do? Oh, I wanted, speaking of kissing contests, they like wrestling. We like wrestling now.
Yeah, we do.
I went to see wrestling the other day.
What?
Yeah, I was on Twitter, and like somebody, Zeb Coulter, who I follow, your favorite wrestler.
Okay, yeah, Zeb Coulter.
Who you agree with 100% on all the issues.
On all his, like, yeah, his incredibly racist signs.
Mm-hmm. He had a really funny one the other day that I saw on Tumblr. I forget what it said. It said like, oh, I'll try to find it. I don't know. It was funny and goofy. It was a pun. But anyway, so, I was following him and he was like, oh, you know, the real Americans, we won tonight in Oakland. How great. And I was like, well, if WWE is in Oakland right now, maybe they'll be, you know, in my town tomorrow or something. Yeah. And sure enough, they were.
Really?
Yep. So we went and, it was a very fun time. And it was really interesting because, like, you know, usually the WWE, like, tours all together, you know, like as a group. Yeah. But seeing as to how my town is smack dab in the middle of two bigger towns, Bakersfield and Fresno, there was two wrestling shows, one in Bakersfield and one in Fresno, which are, like, 2 hours away from each other. And one had all the crummy wrestlers, John Cena, Randy Orton, Ryback, you know, guys like that. And then the other one had the Wyatts and the Shield and Daniel Bryan. And
shit.
Yeah, it was like they were specifically trying to cater to the different kinds of wrestling fans. So it was really fun. I was very sad that the Wyatts did not invite me to join their crew, though.
Did you, how did you make an impression to them? Did you sit in a rocking chair?
No, I just like clapped during their match and when they came out and stuff.
You gotta have more flair than that. You gotta shut the power off and then just show up.
I know. I should have, you know, success is 90% perspiration. That's what they say. I didn't try hard enough.
Yeah. The other 10% is just having a magnificent beard. Mm-hmm. And you've got that in spades. That rules. That's excellent news. I'm glad you got to go see that. Was that your first time seeing like live wrestling or?
Oh, no. I've seen
it before.
I've seen it a few times in my day.
Okay.
I've been to some Raws, some SmackDowns.
I was also at a Raw. I was also at a Nitro. Saw Chris Jericho wrestle. It was pretty good.
Man, you went to Nitro?
Yeah.
That's pretty goofy.
Yeah, I saw Norman Smiley.
Oh, Norman Smiley's so good.
Yeah, he was well into his ridiculous dancing phase, which looking back on it seems like a complete parody of what WWE was trying to do at the time. They were, WWE was actually being edgy and, catering to an older crowd, but Nitro didn't quite have all that, and Norman Smiley just did this very provocative dance.
Yeah,
that was basically it. Yeah. He just swiveled his hips and did that spanking motion. That was it.
Yeah, and then later he became a hardcore wrestler, but he would wear like shoulder pads and like a baseball helmet, like a football helmet perhaps, with like the face guard and stuff. I thought that was very funny. But yeah, WCW was so weird because they were also kind of edgy. Like they had the New World Order, which was like a gang of thugs that beat people up and spray painted them. But then they also had dudes like Norman Smiley and the Disco Inferno.
It was also there. It was great. It was really fun seeing all these folks there. I don't think Sting showed up, but it was, it was fun.
That sounds fun. Mm-hmm. I have one big regret from that show, though.
What's that?
Well, there was some merchandise. I was looking at the merchandise, and it was like all like super expensive, like you might expect. Like T-shirts were like $35 and stuff like this.
Yikes!
Yeah, and but I was like looking at like kind of like the weirder stuff, you know, like the replica belts and stuff like that. And they had the sheep mask that one of the Wyatts wear, and I wanted to get it, but I was like, I didn't want to wait in line, you know, to be like, hey, how much is that mask? And them to be like $58, you know. And they'd be like, never mind. But I probably should have got that mask because I really just want to wear it around the house, like, all the time. Like, I think I would not take it off if I had that mask.
I knew that's what you were going to say. I knew before you even said it, like, he's just going to wear it around the house all day. And you're like, I'm just going to wear it around the house all day.
Yeah.
That seems pretty, yeah, I would do the same thing. Yeah. I'd do my laundry in it and make meals, you know.
Take selfies.
Yeah. Yeah, if I took selfies, I'd probably take them in that mask.
Yeah, so now I really regret it. And then I looked online, and it's like, at least online, it's only $8. And I had I could have bought that. I had $8 to spare.
Yeah. You can also go to, like, some year-round horror or costume joint. Like, I don't know if they have the equivalent of Foy's out there, do they?
No, but there's, like, a Spencer's Gifts. They probably have those at Spencer's, I would think.
Probably. Yeah, they got a lot of those. Wrestling stuff at Spencer's anyway.
Yeah. Or at least they did in the late 90s.
I still go walking through Spencer's. I know we haven't talked about Spencer's Gifts for a while, but there's a mall nearby, and if I get my oil changed or something, I know it's going to be a while. I'll walk around the mall and particularly go into Spencer's Gifts. It's still wacky. It still looks like, you know, a college dorm room that you'd rather not be in. It's like all blacklit and goofy blacklight posters and really loud, obnoxious music, and everything smells like incense. It's really gross.
Yeah. I like that incense smell, though. I went to a gas station the other day, and it's this gas station that's owned by like an Indian fellow.
Yeah.
And I bought some Nag Champa from him, and he was so shocked. Like, I was the first person. Like, I mean, it was like a clean brick, you know? Like, I bought like the first one out of the shrink wrap, and he was so shocked. I think I was the first person in the entire run of his store that bought Nag Champa.
Did he have you exchange contact information after that?
No, like, I just
got to hang out and talk more Nag Champa.
I would like to. I mean, he seemed like he really wanted to sell this Nag Champa, and nobody was buying. He was like, "Where'd you hear about this? Like, have you bought this stuff before? Do you like the way it smells?" And I don't know. Maybe people in California just hate Nag Champa. I used to buy it all the time. My house always smelled, or at least my room anyway, always smelled like Nag Champa for like the longest time because I love the way it smells and I love lighting incense. I'm going to be honest with you, Frisbee. I really love incense and candles.
Wow, that sounds like some real hippie stuff you're laying down on me, friend.
I like good smells, you know?
Yeah, I know. You like to smell good. This is, yeah, something I recognize from you from our first meeting, aside from shooting blood out of your eyes and neck flaps. And you had a very pleasant smell to you, too.
Well, I appreciate that. I, you know, I put some cologne on when Jenny Mac said she was going to have some guests over. I immediately ran upstairs and put on my Nag Champa cologne.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know. Maybe hippies here. Hippies in Ohio love Nag Champa, but hippies here, maybe they like some other kind of bullshit.
Probably patchouli or something.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird interaction. He was so shocked that I bought the Nag Champa.
No, he made his year. He made his entire career, actually, by doing that.
Yeah, now you can pay off that mortgage.
I've been in some gas stations that have that, or they'll just have like straight up incense, or they'll have like an entire array of stuff that I don't even recognize. And hands down, the weirdest gas station I've ever been in was, it's like near, it was just west of West Memphis in Arkansas. And it becomes like no man's land. Like there's nothing for miles. So I needed gas. I pull over to this, what I believed was still an active exit. There were no lamps or anything to really, you know, signify that there was any life out there. And there were two gas stations. One was dead and it was being like worked on by this demolition crew at like 11 at night. It was really creepy. And across the street was the active one. And this place had not been renovated for what looked like decades. I mean, there was huge potholes in the gas station, pavement. And then
Pavement, the band was playing in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, no one really cared about them after the 90s ended. So this is what they're doing now. They're playing in Arkansas. It's really strange. And the pane glass windows were all broken and I had like tape over the cracks, but it was really poorly done. So it was bad news bears. And it didn't have like a card reader on the outside. So you had to like pay inside, and inside it looked like half a old school diner. But not like 50s diner, but like 80s diner with like the wood panel seats, bench seats. Mm-hmm. And it was smoky and there were, what was it? Slot machines like towards the back, and there was no lighting at the back. So there's like two guys sitting back there in darkness playing these slot machines, and everything was just like empty and dead. It was the weirdest thing. Super weird. I think the guy was surprised that he had a customer. Like something was, there was like electronics hanging from wires in the back behind the counter.
I like that. That's the mark of a good quality place.
Yeah. And there was a pregnant lady who looked like she was smoking, or she may not have been pregnant, but she was unhealthy.
She was
she
a
did
fat
not look
lady.
Fit. Huh?
It's even worse to be a fat lady smoking.
Yeah, that may have been the case. I think she had a tube top on. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
She wasn't pregnant. She just had bad fashion sense, I think.
Yeah. It's all right if you're like skinny and pregnant and smoke, but if you're just a fat lady smoking, that's bad for your health.
Yeah, it's bad for my eyes. It's terrible. No, that was my worst gas station experience, but you sound like you had a pretty good one. Was this before or after wrestling, or was it just sometime recently?
Oh, it was a few months ago.
Oh, okay. And it's
just apropos of nothing, you know.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know.
Well, the wrestling sounds awesome. You and the wife went then, I assume.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Cool. People,
yeah. We were like sitting around like a bunch of like kids, and the kids were like really bummed out that I was cheering for the bad guys. They didn't care for that. And my favorite wrestler of all time, El Torito, was there. You know?
Oh, wow.
The little bull fellow. And, you know, he's a little person that comes out and wrestles. And the kids, they kept all around us, they kept referring to him as a little boy. They're like, why is that little boy wrestling? How did that little boy get a job wrestling?
That's the best questioning. I love that when kids are like, wait, that little boy, he's a little boy like me, my little boy friends.
Yeah, if he can get a job wrestling.
How'd that little boy get employed?
Yeah, if he can get a job, I want a job.
Little boy. God, that's funny.
Yeah, it was cute. It was pretty cute. And, yeah, those little kids, they loved Daniel Bryan. It was good.
Oh, was he still very over? Oh, even yeah. Like a non-televised show?
Man, they were freaking out, dude. Like little kids just running around in circles, chanting, yes.
That's great.
Yeah, it was nuts. Oh, also I saw a kid, like 18 years old or something. Maybe he was way older. I don't know. I didn't really get a good look at his face. But he was wearing a long black trench coat. And, like, those pants, like those raver pants that they used to have at Hot Topic with, like, all the
zippers and yeah,
bells and whistles.
Snaps.
Yeah. Pockets and just loops hanging off of them.
Yeah.
He was wearing those. He was wearing a DX shirt and he was wearing, like, a hat with the crow on it. And I thought that, maybe he was a time traveler sent from 1997 to see what wrestling was like in the future or something. It made me so happy because that guy probably would have been my best friend in 1997.
That guy's probably been in a coma for 14, 15 years.
Yeah, he probably just woke up.
Yeah.
The first thing he wanted to do was go to wrestling. He's like, oh, I can't believe I've been in that coma this whole time. I need to go find out if the New Age Outlaws are still the tag team champions. And they are.
Yeah, they are. Not a whole lot's changed.
Yeah.
To be honest, though, when he first woke up, he probably wanted to do a bunch of crotch chops and and then go see wrestling.
Yeah. He just crotch chopped the nurse.
Yeah. That's the weirdest thing about seeing footage from back then is like all the crotch chopping. It's like that's the thing that everybody should be most embarrassed about. And I think.
I don't know, man. I think that stuff was cool.
You did some crotch chopping?
Yeah, I would crotch chop. Yeah, I was like the only one of my friends who watched wrestling, so I would crotch chop people all the time, like all my friends at school, and like they had no idea what it was about, so they just thought that it was something I did to people, and that made it all the better. Also,
you constantly had two words for people.
Yeah, I would always have the two words for people, and I would also carry around. I would go to Joann Fabrics by my house and steal glitter, like gold glitter, and every once in a while, I would just tell people that they would never forget the name of Parker, and I would throw gold glitter in the air and run away.
I hope that's true.
That's true.
Oh, that's fantastic. Even if it's fake, I choose to believe it's real.
It's real.
That's a great, great anecdote. I wish I would have done it when I was a kid.
It's still real to me, Frisbee.
Ooh.
Speaking of things that are real, we should get into these emails.
Yeah.
We have some, and I want to make sure we have time for them, even though we probably won't, because this first one, this from Shelby Colbus, is 7 pages long. He's got a lot to say here. I'll try to skim it for our names and for the important parts. He says he needs to address a few things. Number one, Parker is in no danger of being punched by me. We're best bros. And next time I'm in the Fresno area, LOL, why would I ever be in the Fresno area? That's a good joke. He would hug me and not punch me and share personal friendship information. So I appreciate that. The punching me contest is over, as we said. But I was very afraid that it would be Shelby that would betray me because my wife doesn't listen to podcasts, so there was no danger of her punching me, for the contest anyway. And Sean has been in China, so that just really left Shelby. Or, you know, any of the other Ilkhan guys that listen to Kissing Contest, I suppose. But I had my eye on Shelby, you know.
Yeah, he would be my best bet, too, because he's metal as fuck, and I think he's the only one I know of that drives on that show. It seems like, well, Al drives a cab for a job and he's always doing that. Then Eric flies everywhere. He's always like, he's a jet setter. He flies. And Corey, I don't know if he leaves San Francisco.
Well, he does. He goes to Disneyland. So I guess if I would have seen him at Disneyland, he might have punched me. But there's no
that
punching.
That would have been it, yeah. Shelby's the more, he's the most proactive.
Yeah. He also says, I was dismayed to hear you guys claim that I was not a quote unquote real man. And then he also put quotation marks around real man. So that's extra quotations there.
But we didn't do that. That was the other email. The email was saying that he was a real man. Yeah. I'm totally, I have faith that he's a real man. I've met him. I've shaken his hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gave him a hug. I'm like, I'm holding a real man right now.
I do believe he's real. He's not part of the simulation that Brian Redban and Joe Rogan talk about all the time. The thing about you not being a real man, that was from the email. We were quoting the email. Shelby Kolbas. He says, he thinks that we were saying that about him because he got the Jenny Lewis information wrong about her being in the Goonies, and she's not. And then he attacks you. He viciously attacks you, Frisbee. He says that Jason Razor Ramon, Frizz Ramon.
Bad guy, right?
Okay. made repeated references to the NES game Superstar Wrestling, when in fact the game is called Pro Wrestling.
I forgot about that. Well, Superstar Wrestling we actually got right. No, we had Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's the one that we got right, and I think that's the only one we got right.
Yeah, and then he says you even referred to the infamous pro wrestling character, the Amazon, as Frogman.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been like, he could have been the Loveland Frogman or something like that.
Yeah, I do like that, Loveland Frog. So he viciously attacks you and said he would wrestle you to gain your respect or something.
Yeah, we were chatting about this a bit more, and we think we probably need to hold a pro wrestling tournament featuring all the podcast dudes.
Man, that would be sweet.
Whenever we get rich and famous, we'll have to fly everybody out from, like, you know, East Coast, Midwest and everything, and meet up in San Francisco and have a tourney, an old school tourney with Cheetos and Mountain Dew. And
yeah, well, I think if we're going to meet anywhere, we should meet in Memphis. That's the wrestling capital of the world. And Pavement will play.
Yeah, they're close.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of wrestling, why is it that Poo Party Radio and Kissing Contest are both exclusively about wrestling now? It's dumb. And he says it's sissy shit and that we should talk about slam metal or cockfighting or Pokemans. We're not going to be talking about any Pokemans.
Yeah, I haven't played Pokemon for a while, but I understand it's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It still exists. Like, they keep making new games. It's the number one Nintendo franchise, beating Mario and Zelda, which I think is weird. I don't know if I want to live in this world.
Yeah, wrestling is sweet, and if you don't like it, then we got two words for you, so deal with that, Shelly Kolbas. I guess you don't like wicked chair shots and like awesome bumps and stuff. and good storytelling. In the same episode, you guys briefly discussed the inanimate objects you would insert into a fleshlight to have sex with them like the little ponies do. And then he asks if we would put a fleshlight into a girl's vagina and then have sex with the fleshlight, or if we think that anybody has ever done that. And I'm certain that this is probably going to be a trend, like this sort of thing, because girls, at least according to Dr. Oz and people like this, girls are going out of their way to have anal sex now so that they can retain their quote unquote virginity. I guess that's a trend. That's what I've heard on TV. I would think that maybe it would just be easier to put a fleshlight in there, and then you can avoid all kinds of sexual encounters, I guess. Right?
So this is sex that's two levels deep within a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Inception.
Yeah. And it would be three levels deep if you did it with Ellen Page.
Yeah, yeah. She's a great architect. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean.
That fucking movie sucks.
It's bad. Blah.
I don't know. I think this would be cool. I think this should be like the new thing. You know, you don't want to get pregnant, just put a fleshlight in there. They are kind of big though.
Seems reasonable. I think,
yeah. And you know, and as a guy, I would like that, because anything feels better than a crummy vagina. Right.
I think we need to hash that out on a completely separate episode. Let's save that one for later.
Hey, I'm just saying that I hate the feel of a vagina. Don't like the look.
Oh, I've got two words for you.
I don't like the people they're attached to. I'm not attracted to them physically.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be with a man is what I'm saying, Frisbee.
That's reasonable. You can still do that.
And a fleshlight, though.
Yeah.
The last thing he mentions is that he made us a sweet GIF that we can put on our Tumblrs that you can put on your David Bowie fan Tumblr, he says.
Yeah.
Which is very funny because you post a lot of David Bowie pictures.
I go overboard sometimes. I have a problem. But the GIF is sweet. I saw it. It's really great.
Yeah, we'll post it on our Facebook or something later. And then he says that the beefs are squashed and that we're personal friends. So thanks, Shelley Kolba.
Thanks, man.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of this.
Our next email is titled, Hello. It comes from Charlie. Reads, this is the email of one y'all have christened, quote, Memphis Maniac. I heard Kyle from Kentucky on your podcast and was wondering if I could be on your show as well, as it would be fun. After listening to so much JFD, I was wanting to try my stab at podcast. This would be a good test run to see if I have, quote, the right things for it. I am usually busy doing shit, it seems, that I could set aside an hour and would do any required homework. It would be considered my application for future reference. This is the most professional application we received to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next to Kyle's, I mean, these are both pretty solid.
Yeah. Usually when people want to be on our show, like sometimes Jeremy from Acid Pop Cult will ask, and he'll just be like, I heard you've been talking shit about Kevin Smith. I'm coming on your show, fucker. So, yeah. I like these nice emails.
Yeah, these are cool. They're attention grabbing. Do you think we'll have more guests on?
Most certainly. I think we've opened the door to it. We now have an open invite to anybody who has ever listened to Junk Food Dinner to be on the show, I think. So, yeah. Well, yeah, I'll get in touch with this Memphis maniac. He's a bit of a wild card. He likes to talk about ghoulish things.
Oh, that's rad. Well, his nickname is Maniac. And he sounds like he's from Memphis.
He is from Memphis.
Memphis is a hard-ass town, man. It's harder than Cincinnati. It's harder than most cities I've been to. But I thought it was great. Went to Beale Street and all that shit.
What was the hardest thing that you encountered?
A rock. Iraq, that was really hard.
Iraq. They sent you to Iraq to fight in the war.
Yeah, that was hard. That was basically saying a rock, like Article A rock.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson, you fought him?
Yes.
You got into a fight with him.
On Mud Island. They do have a thing called Mud Island there. And it's basically, as the name suggests, it's an island that's just all mud.
That sounds stupid.
It's where they hold festivals, like music festivals and shit. So you have to wear galoshes and like mud boots. So I went to this festival last year and everybody there had fucking mud boots on. So you'd see like these attractive girls in like 40 degree weather with giant jackets, but wearing skirts and these mud boots. It was weirdly attractive. I don't know how to put it. It shouldn't have been attractive. It's almost like socks with sandals or something, but. This actually kind of worked.
Sounds weird. I have only been there the one time when I drove through to move out to California. And I do like that they have a huge pyramid there for some reason.
Yeah, because Memphis is the name of a city on the Nile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be the reason. I wonder what's in that pyramid. Do you know what's in that pyramid?
Just dead people.
And also I stopped at like a little like gas station I guess I could have brought this up earlier when you were talking about weird gas stations, but I went in and they had a bunch of like little porcelain dolls that had blackface and stuff.
Yeah, that's a not so charming thing about the South. It's like the South's been making some leaps and strides in a lot of like metropolitan areas, but then all you have to do is go outside city limits or just find the place that hasn't caught up yet within city limits. And, yep, you'll see some highly offensive stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
There's a place in Kentucky on the highway called, what is it, Sad Sam's. And it's this giant, weirdly drawn caricature of a crying clown. And it's a high-ceilinged kind of warehouse-looking thing that sells mostly fireworks, but also weird bric-a-brac. And amongst the bric-a-brac is, yeah, racially charged salt and pepper shakers. It makes no sense. I keep threatening to buy people those for gifts every Christmas.
Man, like you should.
Some creep. I don't know why I do that.
You should.
I feel bad about that now.
What you should do instead of buying them as gifts is buy them and then like go over to their house. Like next time you go to like a Thanksgiving dinner with some friends, just put them like in the cupboards, you know, and then say to like a different person who's there, right?
What the fuck is this? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, be like, hey, can you go in that cupboard and get something? And then like the third party person, the person who doesn't live there, will go, what the fuck?
Yes, I might do that. Because these things are terrible, and I know that nobody would want them as a gift, obviously. That's why I keep threatening to buy them when people are being, like, rude and shit. I'm like, I'll get you the most racist thing I can find out Kentucky.
Yeah.
And see how you like it. Your bad attitude. I make weird threats. I don't really make normal threats. But, yeah, I might just slip it into somebody's usual kitchen fare and see what happens.
I think that would be pretty good. Or like buy them, you know, like, and then just have them sent, like rather than you buy them in the store yourself, have like buy them from online and then have them sent directly to the people. And then, you know, they'll like, do it around Christmas. They'll open it at Christmas, you know, and, mm-hmm. and then they'll have them. I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't be as good. I would think that the people around them would be like, you know, the people around them would be freaked out. They would be like, oh my God, you're opening these things. And this is what you wanted. This is what you asked somebody for Christmas for. But I like the original idea. Put them in the cabinets.
Yeah, the old Sneaky Pete. I think that that works better.
The old switcheroo.
Yeah.
This next email. Let me get it again. Oh, this is from our good friend Matthew Sweetman. He says, hello, this is Matthew Sweetman again. I wanted to write to use guys. I read a book this week called I Am the Cheese. It was by the man who wrote The Chocolate War, which was the most delicious war.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good one. It was about this kid on a bike.
I remember that book.
Period. I got more books by the author because I liked that book so much. Other things I've been doing are sleeping, eating, and spending money on compact discs. I hope you are all quite well. I hope Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, does not haunt your dreams. And goodbye for now.
Is there normal things to say in an email?
I love that sweet man. He's so good.
Does Richard Ramirez haunt your dreams?
Yeah, dude, constantly. He was the Night Stalker.
Not mine. I don't really get that weirded out by like dead serial killers. I don't think he's got like a Freddy complex who's going to haunt my dreams. What I've been obsessed with this week, and I was going to say, like, you've had a really full week, man. You went to see wrestling. You saw Robert Cop. You did a bunch of cool stuff.
So rich.
I was going to say, like, I haven't done a ton of stuff because we were threatened with like ice and snow. So I mainly just stayed in, but I remember what it was. I got really obsessed with the Chicago television incident from 88.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the pirate signal that invaded not only like a, I think like an NBC affiliate station during their sports broadcast, but their news broadcast during the sports section, but also invaded an episode of Doctor Who that was playing on their PBS station. Have you seen the video?
I have. Well, I saw it like a long time ago, but it was in my phase where I was like the most scared of screamers. So I like kind of watched it like with the sound way down and like only like half of it was showing on the screen because I like scrolled down, you know?
It's creepy. You made the right choice. I didn't do any of that because I watched it on my phone. So I'm like, I'll just turn this all the way up so I can hear it. And it's this person screaming with a Max Headroom mask on. And he's yelling about like Pepsi and Coke. And then he starts screaming about his piles, like his hemorrhoids. It's really gross, like late 80s humor. It all sounds like stuff out of like an 80s cheeseball gonzo comedy film, like Screwballs in College or something. And oh, it was super weird, really deranged. And then just cuts back to Doctor Who. It's super, it really messed up my week. So that's what was haunting my dreams. Then I was watching this thing called Attack on Titan, and it's this...
Oh, no. Let's go ahead and ignore that for the time.
Do you want to hear more about this weird thing?
Yeah, tell me about the Titantron.
Okay, well, the Titantron... God, they used to make such a huge deal out of that. But the Attack on Titan is this... It's an animated series, and I saw somebody post on Tumblr. These are how most of my stories start these days, so mm-hmm. get ready. And it's super fucking weird. It shouldn't be that weird. Like, when I tell you the concept, it's just... humanity has been, has experienced like this apocalypse sort of thing, and they're dealing with the post-apocalypse. And what it is that there's these, 20 foot, 30 foot tall human looking creatures called Titans. And they have like, they just look like tall, naked people, except they don't have like genitalia or anything for whatever reason, but their faces look kind of like normal faces and they don't talk. But they invade the city and then just start picking up people and eating them. And when they reveal their mouths just go back into their cheeks for a while and they have like rows and rows of teeth. Or their two rows of teeth actually just like keep going, it seems. And they just like bite people in half and swallow people. It really doesn't sound that weird, like as far as storytelling goes, but when you see it, it is damaging. And it's just the most terrifying thing I've been watching, and somebody montaged the clip. So I watched that Max Headroom pirate feed that was like kind of inaudible and terrifying. I'm like, well, I'm gonna watch people getting eaten by taller, bigger people, and that was also horrifying.
Yeah, man, it sounds like you've had the scariest week.
Yeah, but I slept okay. Like, I've just been dreaming about that stuff, and then I wake up and I'm like, well, time for breakfast.
I like that you're cool with it once you wake up.
Yeah, it's just my dreams. That's it. Yeah.
You go, well, it's time for breakfast. And then you go in and then you eat like a really small person.
Oh. Yeah, I don't say a word. I strip down and start eating people.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty normal stuff. Hey, we got another email.
Hey, all right.
Standardized locking beard building block components. It's from Dave. It says, hi, guys. It has recently come to my attention that there is a character in the new Lego movie named Metalbeard. Thanks, Dave. P.S. I guess his name is actually Shelby Cobras and sent via his phone.
Shelby Cobras does not have a beard, as far as I know. But, yeah, I haven't seen this Lego movie. I do like the idea of somebody having a beard made out of metal, whether it
That's
be... What was that?
I said, that does sound neat.
Yeah, it sounds cool. And I would be cool with it if it's made out of, like, metal, like the element, you know? Like actual metal. Or if it's made out of musical notes that resemble the style called metal.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. I don't know. I'm kind of afraid of this Lego movie. I really like the guys who did it because they made Clone High. And
yeah.
I love Clone High. But it looks a little Family Guy-y to me, where it's just like, hey, here's Batman, here's a Ninja Turtle, here's something else. You like these things, here, enjoy them.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from with that. That was kind of my reservation, too. It seems like a lot being thrown at you, but apparently it's supposed to be good.
That's what they're saying. I trust those guys. They haven't done anything bad. They even made that 21 Jump Street movie, and that's good.
Oh, yeah, those guys are on fire, then.
Hot fire.
Good. They spit hot fire.
They're really good at rapping, too. Let's get into a lightning round. Let's do one lightning round real quick.
All right.
And now it's time
for the lightning round.
Lightning round nice. Proper. Yeah. All right. I've got three things here. You decide which one we talk about.
Okay.
Scientists accurately work out the lifespan of worms by analyzing their cells, and soon they can find out exactly how long people will live. Or Pepsi to reintroduce Crystal Pepsi.
Ooh, the second one.
Or I got one more.
Well, you can read it, but I can tell you my heart is set on number two. What's the third one?
Apparently the new trend in Germany is blackface.
Yeah, let's talk about Crystal Pepsi. I don't want to talk about blackface right now. Poor. I need to hear more about this.
All right.
Is it going to taste the same as it did?
It's apparently going to taste like blackface.
Ooh. Well, how long do you have to live after drinking it?
I don't know.
Okay.
PepsiCo chips. Announced Monday that its failed clear cola, known as Crystal Pepsi, would be making a comeback in early 2014 as a limited edition re-release. The soda was an early 90s flop, making now the perfect time to bring it back from the dead. Yeah, so you're excited about this?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Did you really?
I have a lot of tremendous feelings for sodas, as I know I've talked about in this show before. I went at great length over Jarritos, which Shelby got on me for pronouncing as Jarritos. Because mm-hmm. we're Midwestern, you see. That's how we pronounce everything. It's a J. But he's right. Jarritos and other goofy sodas. You and I talk about sodas. You used to exchange photos of sodas after you went to BevCo for the first time.
Yeah, indeed. BevMo.
Oh, BevMo, excuse me. And you found like communist cola, like in California, soda drinks you.
Yeah, yeah. That communist. Good. Yeah, I love that communist soda. It actually wasn't the best soda, but I love the bottle.
What would really, really do it in? Pepsi could bring this back, Crystal Pepsi, which I remember tasting kind of like, kind of fruity. I don't know how to put it. It doesn't taste like cola, like cola berries. It tastes like felt like raspberry or something, but maybe way off there. It's a combination of different flavors. Do you remember having it?
I remember it being around, but my family was a Coke family.
Yeah.
And I didn't like Coke. And as a side statement. But yeah, like I was just not I didn't have access to Pepsi.
Okay.
But didn't Coke make, like, didn't they copy this and, like, also do one?
Well, they had a thing called OK Cola, and they had, like, comic book artists do the design work for the cans. Like, Daniel Klaus did some design work for it. The guy did Ghost World. Mm-hmm.
Shia LaBeouf did it, you mean?
Yeah, excuse me. Shia LaBeouf did it. Mm-hmm. Shia LaBeouf did it. But I don't know. I don't know if that was the same, like, style of soda. Anyway, it was supposed to be like their brand of edginess. And that was like early 90s, 93 or something. I don't think they had a clear soda though. They had New Coke.
Oh yeah.
That was out for a while.
That was dumb. Yeah. But so this was your jam. You like the flavors and you're excited to have them again.
Yeah, I'm excited. Is there some sort of catch to this? Like, do I have to, do something embarrassing to get the drink, like strip naked and run down the street or something?
No, but it does come with TLC's first album.
That's okay. I can't remember anything on that one. Is that the one with Waterfalls or is that the next one?
Yeah, I think that was the next one. That was Crazy Sexy Cool, I think. The first one had What About Your Friends?
Yeah.
Will they let you down? Will they be around? Yay. Yay.
Does that CD also come with like a Random House catalog where if I buy like 30 CDs for 30 pennies, then I'm set or something?
Yeah.
How's it go?
I forget how it worked. I had a lot of them though. Like it was amazing how you could do that because you could just put in a name and that's all you needed. So I like signed up for like everybody I knew. I had so many CDs.
I had, like, you did have a lot of CDs.
Yeah.
But if they brought back, if Coca-Cola brought back OK Cola, I'd probably be set. This would turn out to be a much better year than it's already started off. So yeah, that'd be good.
That's good. I'm glad.
Do they say when it's like where it's going to appear?
I guess everywhere. They say it's going to be limited edition.
Fuck.
So for a short time only.
I need to go to Memphis or something.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they only like test market this stuff, even if it's just for a limited time.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be. But you're right. You're like right. You're right there in the soda belt. I'm sure you'll get it.
I hope so. We do have a lot of Jarritos flavors, so that's good. That's a good sign.
I finally got my hands. I think it was the last time, maybe when I went to Fresno or something. Yeah, I think. Or maybe last time I went to LA. I finally got one of the Shaq sodas.
Yeah.
And it was not good at all.
I'm sorry for you. That's a bad turn of events.
Yeah, I was real excited about it. I forget what flavor I got, like honey something, I think, but not good. It's made with all organic, natural ingredients, and that's not the way to make soda taste good.
Well, I mean, there's a Blue Sky soda. Not to be confused with Blue Sky meth, but there's a soda called Blue Sky. And that's pretty good all natural soda. They do some different flavors, but that may be the only instance where it's actually worked.
Yeah.
I don't really trust Shaq to make my sodas. No offense to Shaq. I don't trust his Shaq Fu either.
I trust his Shaq Fu.
Oh, you're bold. Hey, to touch on the other two, if you knew how long you had to live, would you want to know?
Yeah, I would absolutely want to know. Yeah. Because then
genetically, obviously, like you could always get hit by a bus or shot by a jealous lover or something.
Mm-hmm. But I would want to know.
That would be me. I'd be the jealous lover.
That's the way I want to go.
All
right. But yeah, I mean, I would not, you know, if you knew exactly when you were going to die, then you would have no fear. You know, you could just chill. You could eat as much.
No fear. We've been making so many 90s references this episode.
Yeah, you would have a big Johnson. You could do as many co-ed naked sports as you wanted to do. You could go to Spencer's Gifts.
Very 90s. Yeah, you could tear it up in some Stussy. Yeah. Or not.
You could start a feud with DX.
Yeah. Lace up your Doc Martens.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rest of the episode. It's just reminiscing about 90s shit.
Soul Asylum was a good band.
They were a good band.
But yeah, I mean, if you knew that you were going to die when you're 56, then you could like do whatever kind of drugs you wanted to do. You could party hard, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I do put off a lot of shit because I just think, well, I'm going to die eventually. But if I knew I was going to die at like 40, well, I guess I better get my ass in gear and live my life to the fullest, because I don't think people do that. I think they kind of live life to make money. That makes sense.
Yeah. And people put stuff off. They're like, oh, well, I'm going to live forever. I guess I'll see the Grand Canyon one day. But if you're only going to live to be 40, you'd be like, well, I got to see the Grand Canyon right now. Otherwise, and I won't get to.
Grand Canyon's not that great. It's a huge hole. You want to see some real messed up stuff, you get to see Mount Rushmore. This stuff's bizarre. Why would you chisel faces onto already existing rock?
I don't know. I think I want to go to the Grand Canyon and put a flashlight in it and then have sex with it.
That's a bold move.
You got that right.
You have no fear with your Big Johnson and your co-ed naked sports.
Mm-hmm. But then I would go to Mount Rushmore and then put the flashlight like behind Teddy Roosevelt because I love him.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have sex with him because, you know, he beat the Spanish and that's pretty sweet.
And he built a canal.
Man,
I remember all this.
That canal was so fucking sweet, Frisbee. For years and years, since the dawn of man, people would have to get in their boats and go all, like if you wanted to go from California to New York, you had to go all the way around South America, all the way near Antarctica, all the way back up. Teddy Roosevelt said, we're done with that shit. I'm just going to cut a hole right in the middle of the fucking earth. And we'll just go through that to get to New York from now on. So ballsy. So sweet.
But when I get back, conservationism all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Don't touch a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Don't dig there. This is a park.
We're going to conserve America's beauty. But Panama can fuck itself.
Right?
Ah, love that Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
But I guess that's it. I guess that's all of it.
Yeah, and you can find us online.
Oh, wait.
Pool Party Radio.
I lied to you, Frisbee. That's not all of it.
Oh.
We got something else we got to get to. If you remember last week, I started reading you a story to try to teach you some morals, you know?
Yes. Yeah, the not chick track, but the chick comic book.
It's a chick comic book, so full comic book, full color here. If you remember last week, a girl was hitchhiking. She wanted to escape her house. But the hitchhikers were Satanists, and they did a blood sacrifice and drank her blood in the name of Satan. So
it was a very heavy couple of pages. How many did we get through?
We got through 5 pages.
Wow. that's a lot for a comic book. That kind of material doesn't happen in, like, your Spider-Mans or Avengers. or your Batmans.
That's true.
This is really picking up some speed.
Yeah, there's wall-to-wall action in this book. So I thought that we'd get a little bit farther here. We're going to serialize this, do it over the next couple of years, just a little bit at a time. So a couple of guys, they're driving around, right? And they see cops, you know, in the woods here. And one of them says, uh-oh, looks like trouble. And then so they get out. They go, hey, let's park and see if we can help out these two guys. They're very buff guys. One of them says to the cop, hey, what's going on here? And then the cop says, it's weird, man. They found a body of a chick over there. And there wasn't.
That cop's pretty laid back. Yeah, this is a crime scene. Let me tell you all about it. It's totally fucked up.
Yeah. And he says, there wasn't a drop of blood in her body. And then one of the guys who was in the car, he goes, that sounds like the occult.
Wow. That guy has some insider knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And then a different cop says, hey, boy, stay out of this if you know what's good for you.
He just told him all about it. Why is he telling him to stay out of it now?
Well, this is a different cop. This cop's more in charge than the last cop, I guess.
Oh.
Also, introducing a racial connotation because the guy asking the questions is a black guy and he calls him boy. So we're getting heavy here. This is a heavy book, Frisbee. Racist cops, you know? They've been around since the 70s, apparently. It's not a new thing. I thought it was new.
Go on.
So then the cop says, this idiot thinks we've got Satan worshippers here. And then he gets all up in the two guys' face, the two do-gooding citizens. He says, I'll have you know, boy, that this is a God-fearing community. We've got churches, Boy Scouts, Campfire Girls, the VFW, and then the black dude cuts him off. He says, and witches.
Ooh.
So the cop
anted up.
That's true. He's taking it to the next level. And so the cop, he says, cuss words. You know, they're all bleeped out. Cuss words.
So he says like pound sign, question mark, ampersand.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
He says
like Q-bert talk.
Yeah. He says @, 2 exclamation points, 2 stars, and another exclamation point. So whatever that means.
I don't know.
Cunt rag, I think.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So he says, cunt rag, let me give you some good advice. Keep moving. And that's what we'll stop for this week. We'll get back to it next week. Find out what happens to these two do-gooders and this very racist sheriff.
It's riveting. I'm going to watch way more pirated television and disturbing anime to get that out of my head.
That's understandable.
Just be thinking about it too much.
It's too compelling.
Mm-hmm.
So tune in next week to see what happens next in The Broken Cross.
And if you didn't hear the first installment of it last week, you can find all our old episodes at poolpartyradio.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, though. That's the preferred method. And give us a 5-star rating and a review. We love reading reviews, and we'll read yours. You can also look for us on facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Give us a like there.
Oh, man, we got 200 likes.
Holy shit. That's great.
We passed that milestone the other day. I think we're up to like 203 or something now, but which bums me out because I like those round numbers. But thanks, everybody, for liking us and continue to do so.
Yeah, that's wonderful. We're on Twitter @FinalParker and @SaulFan667. There's also @PoolPartyRadio, but if you're already subscribed to everything else, you don't really need that.
It kind of sucks.
It kind of says it's there. I mean, it's Twitter, but Parker's usually most active on it. So follow him. And we're on Stitcher, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Also, check out other shows on the Pod Awful Network.
Yeah. Check out the Pod Awful. That's a good show. And all the rest. There's some new ones. The Projection Booth is on there.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about movies. So does Junk Food Dinner. I want to mention Junk Food Dinner real quick. It's a podcast about movies that I am a co-host of. I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
And I would just like to mention that everybody should check that out at junkfooddinner.com because oftentimes I feel like anybody listening to the show already knows about Junk Food Dinner, but that may not be the case. You never know. You never know who's out there.
Yeah. I've actually been on that show a couple of times.
That's true.
Back in its infant stages, and I was using a much worse mic than the one I'm using now, believe it or not. And then like some more recent stages as of like last year, where I was on the same episode as Sean Byron's first episode. It was a magical time. Mm-hmm. We talked about apocalypse stuff. And guess what I'm doing on Rotten Rantings? And I guess what will be released in a week or so.
I think that you're going to go on Rotten Rantings and talk about not apocalypse stuff.
Holy, that's the opposite.
You're doing the opposite
thing. I'm doing apocalypse stuff.
But not with Sean Byron.
Not with Sean Byron or you. Yeah. So it's Katie Rotz and Robo, Chris Robo. You know, it'll be fun. That's a great show. Check them out. And all our podcast buddies, we have plenty of links to at poolpartyradio.com in the left bar.
Mm-hmm. We got good buddies over there. I guess that's everything. You know, this is sad. I don't want to say goodbye just yet, but since we have nothing else to plug, I guess it's the time to do it. And
go back home. Yeah, sounds about right.
Do you want to say anything else? Say one thing real quick to the kids listening. Give them one piece of advice real quick.
You can't think of anything to say. I've got two words for you. Fuck, I messed that up. I don't think that works here either. I blew it. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for having fun. Tell me why. Where does the food go when there's no one left to listen to a story without meaning that nobody wants to hear? Tell me why. Where does the food go when it knows there's something missing? Tell me why. Where do I go from here? Where do I go from here? I hope that everybody listening was just like, suck it, like on their earbuds. Like they just said it like real loud, like on the subway or whatever. Just suck it. Where does the fool go when there's